Welcome to the Brake Lab. In this lesson, we're making a crisp, aggressive air horn hit and carving it into a jungle or old-school DNB brake in Ableton Live 12. This is one of those classic rave moves that instantly adds energy, attitude, and that shouty, call-and-response vibe you hear in early jungle and old-school drum and bass. The big idea is simple. We take a short horn stab, shape it so it feels rude and punchy, resample it, then chop it into the rhythm of a breakbeat. By the end, you'll have a horn that doesn't just sit on top of the drums, it feels like it belongs inside the groove. Let's set up the project first. Open Ableton Live 12 and set the tempo to around 170 BPM. That puts us right in the classic jungle and DNB range. Then create three audio tracks. One track for the breakbeat, one for the horn source, and one for resampling the processed horn. If you already have a break loop, great. If not, grab any stock break or an old-school style loop with a solid snare on 2 and 4. Something with a bit of swing is even better, because jungle really loves that slightly loose, rolling feel. Now we need a horn source. You can use an air horn one-shot, a brass stab, or something from a sample pack. If you want to synthesize one in Ableton, Waveatable or Operator can do the job, but for this lesson, a sample is the fastest way to get going. We want this to be beginner-friendly and moving quickly. When you drag the horn into your audio track, trim it down if it's too long. You usually want the useful part to be somewhere around 100 to 500 milliseconds. The main goal is to keep the attack and the body, but avoid a long tail that clutters the break. Remember, in drum and bass, short and intentional usually hits harder than long and messy. Now let's think about placement. A horn hit can work great right before a snare, on the offbeat, or as a response after a drum phrase. A really classic move is to put the horn on beat 4, then let the snare land, then maybe chop the tail slightly after that. That gives you a proper rave punctuation mark. It's like the horn is answering the drums. Next up, we carve the horn with a basic processing chain. Start with EQ 8. First, high pass the horn somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz. That clears out low-end mud and keeps your kick and bass space open. If the horn sounds boxy, make a small cut around 250 to 500 Hz. If it needs a bit more bite, try a gentle boost in the 2.5 to 5k Hz area. And if it needs a little air, a small shelf around 8 to 10k Hz can help. The aim here is not just to make it louder, but to make it more focused. After EQ, add a compressor or a glue compressor. You're not trying to crush it. Just tighten it up. A ratio around 3 to 6 to 1 is a good starting point. Set the attack somewhere in the 5 to 20 millisecond range so the transient still speaks, and let the release sit around 50 to 120 milliseconds. Lower the threshold until you're getting roughly 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction. That gives the horn a more controlled, mix-ready shape. Then add saturator. This is where the horn gets attitude. Try a few dB of drive, turn soft clip on, and trim the output if needed. Saturation thickens the sound and helps it cut through the break without needing to be pushed too loud. In jungle and old-school DNB, that density matters a lot. You want the horn to feel like it has weight, not just volume. If the horn is too bright or harsh, you can add auto-filter after that. You can keep it static or automate it slightly for movement. A low pass around 8 to 12 kHz can soften the edge if needed. The point is to carve the sound so it feels intentional, not raw and pasted on top of the drums. Now comes the key move, resampling. Create your third audio track and set its input to resampling. Arm that track for recording, then play the horn through your processing chain. Ableton will print the processed sound as a new audio file. This is a huge part of the workflow, because resampling lets you commit to the sound and work with it like a fresh sample. It also makes chopping much easier. Listen back to the resample. Ask yourself, does it hit harder now? Does it feel tighter? Does the tail get out of the way of the drums? If the answer is yes, you're on the right track. If the sound feels weak, go back and adjust the saturation or compression before printing again. Resampling is your print and judge step. It's where you find out if the idea really works, not just if the plugin chain looks good. Once you've got the resampled horn, it's time to chop it like a jungle producer. The easiest beginner method is manual chopping in arrangement view. Duplicate the clip, cut it into smaller pieces, and move those pieces around the break. Leave little gaps so the drums can breathe. You want the horn to support the groove, not sit over every single drum hit. Try placing horn pieces before a snare, after a snare, or at the end of a bar to mark a transition. One strong pattern is to hit beat 4 in the first bar, then add a smaller response on the offbeat in the second bar, then bring in another hit at the end of a phrase. That kind of call and response writing is very old school, and it immediately gives the loop more character. Now let's make sure the horn actually fits with the break. If the horn is fighting the snare or masking the drums, go back to EQ8 and carve out more space. If the horn has too much low end, cut it harder. If it gets painful in the upper mids, soften the 3 to 6 kHz area a little. On the break track, you can also make tiny EQ adjustments so the horn and drums aren't stepping on the same frequencies. And if things are still getting crowded, sidechain compression can help. Put a compressor on the horn and feed it from the kick or snare. You only need a subtle ducking effect. Fast attack, medium release, just a little gain reduction. That way the drums stay in front, and the horn still feels big without taking over. If you want extra grime, there are a few great stock tools to reach for. Drum Bus can add drive and grit. Redux can give you a little digital edge. Auto Filter can add motion. Echo can add a short rave-style tail, but use it sparingly. And Reverb, if you use it at all, should stay very subtle. This style is about punch and attitude, not washing the sound out into a giant space. A useful sound design mindset here is to think in layers. A really good horn hit usually has a clear attack, a controlled body, and a short tail that you can edit separately. If you want more weight, you can duplicate the resample and pitch one copy down an octave, then blend it lightly underneath the original. Keep the bright top layer for the snap, and let the lower layer add menace. You can also create a ghost hit. That means placing a very quiet copy of the horn just before the main hit. It works like a little pickup note, and it can make the main stab feel bigger. Small timing shifts like this matter a lot. Moving a hit just a few milliseconds earlier or later can completely change whether it feels loose or locked in. Now think about arrangement. In a real DNB tune, the horn should feel like a feature, not a constant. Use it sparingly in the intro, bring it in more during the build-up, then reduce it again during the drop so the drums and bass can drive the tune. A simple structure might be sparse horn in the first 8 bars, more call-outs in bars 9 to 16, more chopped energy in the next section, then occasional punctuation during the main drop. That keeps the track exciting without wearing out the listener. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, too much low end in the horn. That'll clash with your kick and bass. High-pass it more if needed. Second, overcompressing. If you squash the life out of the transient, the hit loses its impact. Third, making the horn too long. Long tails can blur the groove fast. Fourth, too much reverb. It can destroy the punch and make the hit feel distant. And fifth, forgetting that the break is the priority. In jungle and old school DNB, the drums are the engine. The horn is the crowd shout, not the main melody. If you want to push the sound further, here are a few extra tricks. Try a call and response pattern instead of one static horn hit. For example, make the first hit full volume, the second a bit shorter, the third filtered or pitched slightly, and then leave a bit of silence. That conversation style approach sounds very musical and very rave. You can also do two-pass resampling. Print one version clean and punchy, then print another version with more distortion or filtering. Blend them together. That gives you a solid core with a dirtier outer layer. For a more vintage feel, keep the horn a little drier and a little darker. For a more aggressive feel, distort the lower layer and keep the upper layer sharp. And if you want the horn to feel more like a section marker, place it at the end of an intro, the bar before a drop, or the start of a new phrase. Here's a quick practice challenge. Load a break loop at 170 BPM, add one air horn sample, process it with a EQ8, compressor and saturator, then resample it. Chop the resampled horn into three pieces and place one before the snare, one after the snare, and one at the end of bar 2. Adjust the volume so the horn supports the drums instead of dominating them. If you want a challenge version, make one clean and punchy, and another darker and dirtier, then compare which one works better in the groove. So to wrap it up, you've just learned how to create a Break Lab air horn carve in Ableton Live 12 using resampling. You shaped the horn, printed it, chopped it, and placed it rhythmically over a jungle-style break. That's a really useful DNB technique, because it teaches you how to turn a simple one-shot into something that feels like part of the record. The core takeaway is this. In drum and bass, especially jungle and old-school styles, short, aggressive, well-placed sounds can have massive impact. If you keep the horn tight, give the break room to breathe, and use resampling to commit to the sound, you'll get that proper rude, ravey energy. Keep it punchy, keep it intentional, and let the break do the talking.